I take my text today from St. Matthew's Gospel, which is often read throughout the year for the Mass of a virgin martyr. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Did you remember to hide a green scapular somewhere for someone who wouldn't otherwise receive it? This Sunday's assignment is to hide four of those palm crosses, bury them in the four corners of your property, or at least put one in a little door jamb over the door to bring heaven's blessing and protection to your home and family. The Holy Cross today is found. This is today's feast. That means once upon a time, it was hidden like a treasure hidden in the field. That's what you are meant to do with these little crosses, hide them in your fields. The Holy Cross has been hidden not just once, but many times, sometimes by God, sometimes by man, and sometimes by demons. But today, it is hidden by God in your field. Now, by its very nature, a cross large enough to hold a man to die upon it is very large and hard to hide. And that's why we make the sign of the cross tall and wide over all of us on the outside. But the cross is always being hidden on the inside, like a little green scapular or a little cross of last Palm Sunday's palm. Right after Easter, the devil instigated the Jews to hide the cross at Calvary, you might say in Golgotha's burying fields. They dug a pit and they threw the crosses down into it, and then they filled it up, kind of a landfill, with garbage and with earth, and covered it over. The Roman pagans, to add insult to injury, why, they erected a temple to their goddess Venus right on top. But everyone remembered where it was. The early Christians knew very well the teaching of the Holy Cross, and they gloried in it. But for the cross itself, they were slow to acknowledge its beauty, because for three centuries it was still the gruesome instrument of torture. Ultimate torture whereby the Romans maintained their empire. Some things never change. And so in the catacombs, they would hide it. So they would draw a cross and then put a hook on each side, an anchor. That would be their cross. Or Daniel in the lion's den with his arms extended be painted in the catacombs. And even after the cross was found and crucifixion forbidden under Constantine, why, even then, the demons would not give up. There would always be an attack of heresy. For example, the original ecumenical heresy called iconoclasm, or image breaking. It was ecumenical because the emperor thought he could curry favor with the Jews and with the Muslims in the 8th century because they didn't believe in sacred images. So one day, Leo the Isaurian ordered his soldiers to pull down the great golden cross over the gate of Constantinople. And that began a long crisis during which Catholics had to hide their cross. Now, you and I today may think that a bare wooden cross, a plain one, no corpus, is a Protestant symbol. But that's not so. It wasn't until the 19th century that some Protestants were so bold as to imitate the Catholics in starting to use a cross in the decoration of their churches on the inside or on the outside. And until then, the cross was dismissed as something popish, something of Rome. And many a cross in the 16th century was pulled down and dragged out and burnt upon the village green. In the persecutions in Japan after St. Francis Xavier planted the faith, Christians were forced to trample over the cross. And if they would not, they were tortured or burned to death. Again, at that time, the cross was hidden by these hidden Christians, as they were called. Most of you remember the changes, those of us of a certain age, how they carried the crucifixes out of the churches and took them down from the walls of the classrooms and of the sick rooms in hospitals. And still today, officially, under the Novus Ordo in the Cincinnati Archdiocese, it is actually forbidden to have a crucifix over their central table, which they use for an altar for their services. And then just last month, the Jesuits, mind you, covered and hid all Christian symbols for a visit of he who I want to call the Antichrist, an Antichrist, to Georgetown in Washington, D.C. And finally, just at Holy Saturday, the head of the Novus Ordo German bishops, a man named Zollitsch in Freiburg, attempted to hide the Holy Cross under a heap of heresy, of modernist rubbish, holding that Christ did not die to expiate, to pay for our sins, but solely out of sympathy, solidarity, they say, with suffering humanity. Now, if this latest bishop blasphemy were true, why then all of us would still be in our sins, unredeemed, with no hope of salvation. But when heresy, hell, hides the cross, buries it beneath its garbage, or burns it, it only preserves it, as the Jews did of old. Saint Helena the Empress knew exactly where to go with her workers to excavate and to find the precious relic of our redemption, the cross. Little particles have been sent throughout the whole world. We are privileged to possess our particle, which is enshrined over the altar this morning. The Holy Cross shines only brighter the more they attempt to hide it, whether it be in Germany or Georgetown or here in Cincinnati. The true catechism of the Catholic Church, I mean the catechism of the Council of Trent, and the infallible Word of God confound the error of these modernists and of the Jesuits. During the time of the reign of Julian the Apostate, who attempted to rebuild the temple of Jerusalem, a cross was seen shining over the whole of that holy city, golden against the sky. And Julian, 2-3 years later, died. And his last words were, "Thou hast conquered, O Galilean." But what about the other crosses? Yours, I mean, buried deep in your heart, hidden in the field of your life. Who put them there? Was it God or the devil or men? I mean not only to be treated coldly or even cut off because of your Catholic faith, but in the common things between husband and wife, missed communications, all of the frustrations that children sometimes feel about their parents and parents return the compliment, or a child's illness, and then the matter of bills and bills and bills, and so many worries. Why, it all leaves you wondering, who's behind it? God is behind it. Oh, it's true. Men and demons both do their part. They take their shovels and their pickaxes and they dig, but it is God who permits that it should be so, for he is the one who hides the crosses in the fields of our life. To understand how this works, we could do no better than to turn to today's other feast, that of good Saint Joseph, the hidden saint the silent saint. He is the saint who treasured his sorrows. Reading St. Matthew's Gospel, we count them as seven, and we know that each sorrow led to a splendid joy. I think we could never meditate on these truths sufficiently. He answers the question for us, St. Joseph does, the big why that leaves you weepy sometimes and wondering, why? Why all of these worries? Why that hurried flight into Egypt and a sense of unworthiness to espouse Our Lady and the shame of the poverty that he couldn't provide and the anguish of that 3 days' loss and the sword Simeon spoke of, which he saw hidden in his wife's heart sevenfold. Why? Why, the answer is the same for St. Joseph as it is for you and for me. Crosses come to us ultimately not because of devils, not because of people, not even because of ourselves, but ultimately from a good God who permits that it should be so. So that you and I, as St. Joseph did, might participate, cooperate in the great work of our redemption. I fill up, St. Paul says, what is wanting of the sufferings of Christ to atone for sin. Survey today your own field of tears. Don't let the meaning and don't let the immense value of a single one of your crosses be buried or hidden anymore. Find Christ's cross there, unite it to your own, and remind yourself, every soul has a price. And then for those others for whom you've hidden that green scapular last week, remember, there are a lot of people who cannot or who will not dig in to their pocket and pay. And you must willingly step forward with a smile, as Joseph did, to shoulder that person's cross. Every cross joined to Christ's becomes a glowing, shining treasure. St. Albert the Great teaches that St. Joseph suffered in order to cooperate in man's redemption, to offer himself, he says, the most perfect purity of body and of soul as a sacrifice, agreeable and acceptable to God, to atone for our sins. Now they want to hide that holy truth, devils do and modernists. But bury this truth deep in your heart, even as Almighty God will continue to hide crosses throughout your life. But his holy cross do not hide. Hang it proudly, a beautiful crucifix, in your living room. Make it with meals, in public and in private, and when you pray, make it well, lift it high, exalt Christ's cross for the token of triumph, which it is, and it will help you to treasure those other crosses you're all the time finding hidden in your heart. We're passing through another one of those periods in history when the Holy Cross, more often than not, in its glory, is hidden. But it is not hidden for us, nor will it be one day for them. When our Lord returns in glory, that cross will be his throne shining in the sky. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.